This is a podcast from Minute Media.
119-115 Bulls over the New York Knicks. Welcome into DeWindy City Bulls podcast. Brian Beto, Coach A coming up here. And we do talk a little bit of Bears and a little bit of Marcus Stroman to the Cubs. How about the Cubs dealing in on a three-year, $71 million deal? I was surprised and pleased. Hey, Marcus Stroman is one of my favorite people in all of baseball, and it's cool that he's going to be playing in Chicago. Don't panic, White Sox fans. I know you're not super thrilled with Leury Garcia and not much else, but let's just let the lockout take place, which, by the way, message to baseball, the fans are going to come back. You don't need to worry about when the season's going to start. I'd love to see you get a deal that is beneficial to baseball fans. Baseball fans in Miami, in Pittsburgh, in Kansas City, even in Chicago when the White Sox don't want to spend money. Of course, they're going to have their highest payroll that they've ever had. But look, the narrative that if the season doesn't start on time, that people aren't going to come back, I'm more worried that they actually get this right. Somewhere closer to a salary cap system, something that looks like the NBA, something that looks like the NFL. I have no faith that's going to happen, but that's what I'm hoping is going to happen. What I also didn't have faith was going to happen was that Ayo Dosunmu was going to be throwing alley-oops to Alex Caruso, and the Bulls were going to have a guy by the name of DeMar DeRozan, who Kendall Gill on NBC Sports Chicago last night after the game said that there's three guys that I've ever seen hit shots that contested in my career: Michael, Kobe, and DeMar. Now, I don't know if that's quite accurate, but that's a hell of a statement by him. DeMar DeRozan has been incredible, and last night he was just sweet. The footwork is amazing. The ability to shoot the pull-up is great. Even hand in your face fading away, this guy has been an absolute revelation, and he is the Bulls' best player, and Zach is great too, and they're both going to be all-stars. But I think you can actually make a legitimate argument that Alex Caruso is the MVP of this team, because whatever, second place, I don't know, third place, the big three, forget about that's the most accurate big three. It's not DeMar, LaVine, and Vooch. It's DeMar, LaVine, and Caruso. This guy is all over the place and is just a joy to watch play basketball. He bothered me, admittedly, with the Lakers because I was so charged up by LeBron. But as a Bull, and there was no reason for me to be bothered. He was just that good. It wasn't like he was, you know, doing dirty things. That's the thing about him, too. He's scrappy, but he's not dirty. He has an integrity in his game. This is not a Matthew Dellavedova. This is a guy who is an incredible athlete. I mean, alley-oops at the rim, all of it. And super smart, super crafty. I don't think I've ever enjoyed a player that plays like him more than I've ever enjoyed Alex Caruso, albeit a slightly short sample size. All right, on that note, let's get going here. Beto, Adelman, the coach. It's DeWindy City Bulls podcast.
Showtime.
Coach, you're a Cub fan. Let's just touch on that for 1 second. It's Marcus Stroman. He's the only ballpark he's ever not pitched at is Wrigley Field. Does he know what he's getting himself into? Does he think he just signed with like the 2016 Cubs? What is Marcus Stroman doing?
Coming to win. You know, the Cubs will turn it around. Let's give the Cubs credit. They'll turn it around and at least 2 years or so.
Beto, does Stroman know what he's doing? Seriously.
Yeah, he's getting paid $23 million a year and has a chance to cash out in 2 years and then get repaid for another five. And, you know, he talked about loving Chicago and all that stuff. But, yeah, it's easy to do that when you're getting paid all that money. I'll love anywhere.
I'll love Toledo.
I'll love Terre Haute if somebody's giving me $23 million a year.
I don't think they overpaid. Do you think they overpaid?
No, not at all. I'm just saying, like, that's what he's doing. Like, you know, if anyone's willing to give them the money, then yeah, I don't know. I think it signals that they're not done. I know they're done for now because of the lockout, but I don't know if he signs there. We don't know the other offers, but I don't know if he signs there if he thinks like, okay, that's it, that's all we're going to do, and we're not going to add anything to the infield, we're not going to add another starter. So I think this is step one.
You think that at Stroh got some guarantees from Jed Hoyer and company. Tom Ricketts came down from Ricketts country. I wonder, has Marcus Stroman done any research on the Ricketts family? I wonder. I mean, he is.
Hey, when we did our Cubs pod.
Yeah.
You know that I was into like, I'm like, this is not 2011. They're not just going to sit on their thumbs for three years.
I understand. Marcus Stroman is as far opposed to the way that the Ricketts family politically goes about their business as possible. I'm wondering if he like I'm legit wondering
from
if
that
if,
standpoint.
I'm legit wondering if he's aware of that, because that's one part of the Ricketts family, and I'm just curious if he knows.
I mean,
that.
I just want to know if he knows. Jed. I mean, Theo and Jed worked, and they're clearly aligned.
Yeah, right. Theo especially has made his political viewpoints at least understood.
Yeah.
So the Ricketts family, for whatever it is that's political within the Ricketts family, they've done a pretty good job of not bringing that into baseball.
I don't know. I see Todd Ricketts sitting in the front row at Wrigley. If Stroman knows who that is, I think he might opt out in the middle of the middle of the season. I'm just call me crazy. I like that you guys are, and we're all holding on, that Theo is just still a part of the Cubs.
He's still here.
He hasn't left.
We can hope.
He's just like, you know, when after the win the World Series, where he goes, Jed's in charge, I'm going on a bender. Maybe I'm just assuming he's still on his bender. Like, he's coming back. Jed's in charge for now.
Jed probably does call him on every move still. Seriously.
What do you think? I
100%. Hey, dude, until you sign elsewhere, I'm going to ask you on every move. Until you're running the Mets, I'm still talking to you. Until you're doing something else,
No doubt. And this is nothing against Jed. I just, you know, I like Jed. I'm just saying, like, I would consult Theo. Hell yeah.
Right. And since we're off track here, we'll get to the Bulls in a second.
On this Bulls pod.
Have either of you chanted fire Matt Nagy at any venue?
No. You know, that was my high school that did that.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh,
so, okay, hold on a second. Let's rewind back. Cary Grove
was where I went. Yes.
Okay. So they said fire Matt Nagy with Matt Nagy's kid on the field. Coach, you deal with the youth of America more than we do from a coaching standpoint. I mean, that shit is wrong. I'm sorry.
It's very wrong. And, I think the school handled it appropriately, saying, you know, that they don't respect doing something like that. I've been saying fire Matt Nagy under my breath for 2 years. So I won't chant it in a public forum, but I certainly understand, you know, that most of our fans and kids are going to make mistakes. You know, kids are going to make mistakes. And I think that's what, get over the fact that the kids made a mistake, though. I think that was one point. Let's get over it. Let's not dwell on what Cary Grove did. They're kids, and the kids made a mistake, and then the school stepped in, and they did address it.
That's fine, but I'm just going to say, in high school, when I was riding in Andrew Boron's Pontiac Fiero and having his dad call me out of school and going to the East Bank Club to play hoops and dream about being Jordan, I knew that was not the right thing to do.
Well, I'm sure those kids know that as well. I'm sure those kids know that as well, but, you know, you're cheering for your team, you get caught up. To me, it's kind of the non-story. I think the story on Matt Nagy is the story of Matt Nagy. The story of the Bears organization is the story.
I actually want to rewind back to how pathetic my high school life was. That the craziest thing that I have said that I could ever do was that I went to the East Bank Club and played basketball and skipped school. What a complete loser, honestly. Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have been like, oh, I skipped high school to go like watch the Cubs in 84 in the bleachers. No, you went to East Bank Club to play basketball.
Okay, just keep me out of high school in 84. I wasn't quite that.
Yeah, I just picked a year the Cubs.
Right. Well,
But I mean, they made a mistake. It was dumb.
How much trouble you get in with your dad, Carl?
Zero. Zero.
Skipping school.
Fred?
Completely. Fred was not aware. Fred.
Oh, yes.
Fred's not a listener to the Windy, unfortunately. Fred needs to
get a 2-week punishment for trying to do that. I tried to skip school, and then they called my dad to say, hey, your son's not in school. And so he then found me, and I was in school within about 30 seconds.
That's a good job by Pops.
I never skipped school at Cary Grove. Good old CJHS. I never had to come out.
You loved being there. You wanted
to
learn.
Actually, I loved high school. It was great.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Okay. We don't need to go down this road too far, but back in the day, you would take the phone off the hook because you knew the teachers were calling, and there was cell phones. Everybody had a landline. So you take the phone off the hook, and then I showed up, and I was like failing shop. Like I was afraid of the shop teacher. I think it was
should have done the Ferris Bueller and just like recorded a message.
Right.
You know, like he did.
It's like, I tried to call your parents because you're failing shop last night. Oh, they must have been on the phone. Yeah, they were at 6, at 7, and at 3 in the morning when I called again.
I love that.
So, all right. The Matt Nagy thing, just for the record, that's not the chant. That's not the coach. It's at least the coach and the GM. The chant should be sell the team. If you're going to chant anything.
Do you think a bunch of 16-year-olds are thinking about that? Do you think they're thinking, you know what, this is a really an organizational failure?
Yeah,
no,
you're right.
I'm going to start chanting at the McCaskies at Matt Nagy's son's football game. Exactly. I don't think there was much thought. It was just a dumb thing.
They're just copying what had happened at the United Center and a few other places.
For sure. And I can guarantee you that was not the only place that had that sentiment during a football game at Lake versus Lake Forest this year. It just happened to be on TV and it was the state semis. So it was picked up.
I'll do one more. What about Indiana University? I'm singling them out, but it's everywhere in college basketball. They're screaming sloppy seconds at whoever was playing because he had been with whoever. So, is that okay? Oh, I love Beto. So uncomfortable. I'm just
not a big like boo like.
Right.
Like it right. thing, but like, I'm not just going to be like, they're the worst people ever because I'm they
not,
did it.
No, okay,
like,
no.
I'm just not a fan of it in general. So for I'm all not saying my, you're saying that.
But. For all my young DeWindy listeners, I'm not trying to put you in jail, but I am trying to look at you and say, dude, what are you doing? Don't scream sloppy seconds. Come on. I mean, first of all, sloppy seconds. Congratulations. Wait to make a move. Come on. You got to move on in life. Like we're not here for a one-time thing. Let's go. And the thirds and sixth and tenths and whatever. I mean, live your life. We're not here meant to be with one person, damn it. Unless for all you high school sweetheart lovers out there. All right. I'm in a mood this morning. Hey, coach, what are you most excited about your basketball team?
Most excited? I think
you said you had some odd takes today. So I feel like something you're excited about.
I don't know if it's odd takes, but you know, if you're asking what am I most excited about, I'm most excited that the first quarter of the season, the Bulls went 13-7. So multiply that up, we're winning 52 games, right? So that's
you're taking the over on your 51.
The excitement is the start they got. But what I would tell you, I think the biggest excitement I have, I had no idea how good I said, and even saying I thought Alex Caruso would be the underrated signing of the free agency. I still didn't know how good he was. He is the best value in the NBA right now. I mean, was he making $8 to $10 million a year?
Was it 4 for 36, something like that?
That's
so 9.
That's correct. 4 for 36.
He's a better player than Lonzo Ball right now. I know that Lonzo's. Some people are going to say, "No way," blah blah blah. But I want you to think about this in one way. At the end of the game, if you needed to get a basket, would you give the ball? And you couldn't. You don't have DeRozan. You don't have LaVine. You don't have Vucevic. Which player are you giving the ball to at the end of the game to help you get a shot? Is it Lonzo Ball or Alex Caruso?
I like the way you phrase it, to help you get a shot. Because I'm not – if I just had to have a bucket, I'm going to give it to Lonzo and hope that he can get his step back off and he makes it. But if you're talking about facilitating a play, I think it's a great point.
And even scoring, I mean, Lonzo Ball, how many free throws has Lonzo Ball shot this year? Like 8?
Well, like, I mean, literally. you underline that, coach, that he doesn't get in the lane. I mean, Beto, are you with coach on that you'd give the ball to Caruso?
I'd rather have Lonzo facilitate, but I understand the point. I actually think it's the flip side. If you're looking for someone, if you need a score in that moment, I'd almost rather have Caruso. To coach's point, he maybe can get to the line. He can finish more in the mid range and around the hoop than we've seen Lonzo. But I think Lonzo
got more game than Lonzo.
What's that?
He's got more game than Lonzo. Like Lonzo, if you watch the very end of the Heat game, the possession where the Bulls are down, I think it was 114-109, and they needed to get a shot, a quick shot. Now, they were going to lose the game regardless, so this isn't like a blame Lonzo thing, okay? But
it's a blame Vooch thing. Sorry.
Right. It's 114-109. The ball goes into Lonzo, and Lonzo shoots a three-point air ball because they just switch, and he doesn't have the ability to really create a shot. It's just not in his game to individually create shots because he won't go to the basket, get fouled. He's not going to attack you that way. Caruso, Jeff Van Gundy had the best line of Caruso in the game that Jeff Van Gundy was the announcer. He says, Alex Caruso on a nightly basis tries to figure out what the team needs to win. And so you look at like the Heat game when Zach LaVine decides he's not going to shoot. Alex Caruso tries to score. The Rockets game, they don't show up. He tries to score. The games where DeRozan and LaVine got it going, Caruso just says, I'll just play lockdown defense. And I'm stunned that the Lakers let him go, to be honest with you. Now, being in LeBron's shadow, I think probably hid how good Alex Caruso was. And with this Bulls team, he's being given an opportunity to kind of, at some periods of some games, be one of their main guys.
I'm actually stunned looking at the numbers here. Beto, do you have any idea how many free throws Ball has shot compared to Caruso?
No, with no context, no idea.
You want to guess at it? It's stunning.
It won't surprise me because we talked about how he doesn't score inside of 23 feet. That includes a 15-foot foul line.
How many free throws do you think Ball has shot this year?
20.
Eight.
That's what I said. Did I say eight? I was right, actually.
He's 6 for 8. That's hard to do.
Yeah, Caruso, somebody that has the ball as much as a point guard.
Caruso on the other end is 40 of 47. So, I mean, whatever. That coach, that's a great underline right there. I mean, it's how he plays and the Bulls are winning and all that. And Lonzo's not changed, but that's certainly an area for him to, where there's massive improvement available. Right. I mean,
he's 24,
right. He's a very young player.
Yeah.
How have you shot 8 free throws? I literally do think if you put me out there for a quarter of the NBA season, I could get to the line 8 times. I think I could do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens. 3-point shooters don't always get to the line. Talk about Cary Grove. I think I had eight free throws my entire career at Cary Grove because I just sat at the 3-point line when I wasn't on the bench.
Right. Anyway. But you weren't the point guard. I mean, I get that the Bulls don't traditional point guard level, but go ahead, coach.
And here's my second thing. I have a plea to Zach LaVine. I'm going to make my plea to Zach. So if Zach LaVine listens to the Windy podcast,
the Windy City.
Please. Yeah, the Windy City podcast. please, Zach, don't come to a game not looking to shoot the ball. The Miami Heat game, I blame Zach for that game. He came out in that game and said, I'm not going to shoot. And he can't do that with this team because DeRozan then becomes the shooter. If Zach wants to be the facilitator, if Zach tries to facilitate, that doesn't mean he can't pass the ball or hit open guys. I'm not saying he can't do that. But when he's coming out not hunting to score and looking to facilitate, you know who's kicking the ball out to? DeRozan for a 3-point shot. Because DeRozan's man is going to help because he doesn't have to worry about him at the 3-point line. So it's the opposite. You want DeRozan being that guy who's facilitating at times and kicking out to a Zach LaVine, not Zach facilitating, not looking to score. And I said this years ago. Jim Boylan made one of the worst quotes ever. He said, I don't want to see Zach LaVine shoot threes. He was like, I want him to go to the free. And I understood his point. He wants him to go to the free throw line more. And I said at the time, I want Zach LaVine to play more like Klay Thompson. He is an elite shooter. Zach is an elite shooter. And when he gets in trouble is when he turns down that open three-point shot and then just starts messing around with the ball. And so, Zach, shoot the three-point shot. You should shoot 7 to 10 threes every night. Every night. He's too good a shooter not to shoot 7 to 10 threes.
If anybody hits me up on Twitter and says that and gives votes, either way, who would you if Billy Donovan walked out the door right now and pulled a Brian Kelly and said, I'm going to coach whoever's, you can either have Coach A coaching the team or Jim Boylan back. If anybody gives a vote on Twitter at the Carm, I will send you some. I will send you a fan-sided Everest bobblehead, out of which is a great gift. Which of course we're recording on video.
If they answer Jim Boylan, do they get the bobblehead?
They absolutely answer Jim Boylan. They might get two bobbleheads if they go Boylan just for saying Boylan. Who, by the way, NBA TV, really? You needed to hire Jim Boylan? With all due respect, Jim Boylan, talk about a guy who should be coaching Cary Grove High School. He could have given the message on Matt Nagy. Guys, that's where he belongs, or on someone's bench, deep on it. Beto, you want to follow up on that? Is the
the coach A versus Boylan or the Bulls? Because I'm going Coach A, so that's over.
Okay, we got that part. I figured you would be loyal, but I don't know. Like, are you with Coach on Zach?
I totally agree. Actually, on the point, especially with, because I've noticed that recently too in those games where, when Zach has facilitated, I don't mind doing it. If everyone else is like shooting well and scoring, he doesn't always have to go crazy. But there was times where it made DeRozan almost a spot up 3-point shooter, which we know is the most inefficient part of his game. I just think for me that Miami game, while I agree that Zach was brutal, like they just, and I know he was good against Charlotte, they just got to get more out of Vooch. And that's what excites. We talk about what excites us. What excites me is that they were 13-7 in the first quarter of the season, and they haven't peaked yet. They've played really well at times, but there's definitely room for improvement. You have an all-star center who's played like Dalibor Bogdanović for the first, 19 games before scoring. I can't. That was a really random poll, but I think you'd appreciate that.
I did.
And so if he plays well, and I know he was out, and they absolutely need him to play well and needs to facilitate. They missed his passing when he was out, but if he gets going, I think you can really see this team like take off and really establish themselves in that upper echelon of the East.
He had an interview with I forget if it was either Jason and Stacey or if it was Adam and Stacey, whatever. He was on NBC, and it was just interesting to hear him for whatever reason, his relaxed vibe and him kind of bottom lining how the struggles of his season and how he needs to be better and what he's trying to provide the team and how he knows how important it is for them to be successful. It gave me confidence that the Vooch is in a good spot. I don't know if you guys
got a track record. Yeah, I saw it. I know you love a good presser. It's not a Markkanen, Yeah.
Oh God, was that bad?
But I agree. He's got the track record, right? And he'll get there. I think it just in the first quarter of the season, it wasn't great, but that's what excites me, knowing that it's going to likely get better.
Coach, where's your Vooch concern? 1 to 10, 10 being the greatest. He sucks. It was a terrible trade, which is where I was at when they made the trade, and that was wrong. But
yeah, my concern's out of 3. I haven't been tremendously concerned. There was a time or two where his shot looked so off that concerned me a little bit. But I think you know what you're getting with Vooch, and at some point I do anticipate his shot coming back to him like it did last night. And the Bulls will figure that part of it out. You know, the question with this team is, no matter what, the question is when you get towards the playoffs, right? When you're playing in these games, like the game against the Heat, how good are some of these players? Because the truth is, DeRozan is the only one with any level of playing in a high and Caruso, obviously, are the only two guys that played in really big games. So Zach has really never played in a big game in the NBA yet. Vucevic has played very little, if any, in really big games in the NBA, and Lonzo hasn't played in any big games. So that's the big question for these guys, is when the game really steps up, like the Miami Heat game, everybody felt that. How are those guys going to step up?
I want to bring in a little bit of Kobe White conversation, because when he went 9 of 11 and put up 20, and Zach LaVine, talk about the other things I love, Beto. When Kobe White's talking post-game and guys are dumping water on him, and Zach is yelling, he's back. I was sitting there like, this is amazing. I was dead wrong. Kobe's back. Because he scored, because he scored 20 against the Magic in a blowout win, and then he shoots 4 for 15 against the Heat and the Hornets. And if you look at his overall stats, he's coming in at 35% on the year. And I get that he's coming off an injury, and now he's got COVID. But I was excited for a minute. I was like, I got to go apologize on the pod. I was wrong. Kobe fits with this team, but I did like that they like him. I don't know. Where are we at on Kobe's fit on the team right now?
I'm in the same place I've always been with him. You know, he's hopefully going to give them instant offense off the bench. The team needs his shooting. So got to give him some time. Unfortunately, with COVID now, it's a long season. I know it doesn't feel that way, because right now we're invested for the first time in the team at this point of the season. I mean, think about, usually at this point of the season, we're just like, all right, get ready for a 25 to 31 year, right? So this is the first time we're really invested. Remember, it's a long season. Hopefully by the time we get to game 50, 55, and I know that sounds long, Kobe White is starting to round into form. And that's still 25 games of the regular season and then into the playoffs, which you're expecting the Bulls to be part of, for Kobe to round into form. But this team's going to need him, and they're probably going to need to find – I'd like us to find a Gabe Vincent. Where's our Gabe Vincent, right, who can come off the bench and score 20 points on a given night? We need a player like that. We don't have a player like that on the bench right now. Like Javonte Green, Ayo Dosunmu, love their defense, love their energy, but they're not – hitting a 20-point night for you.
I can't believe you just busted out Gabe Vincent.
Dude, I was going to throw – I was throwing things at the TV that game, because the guy couldn't miss. He turned into Steph Curry that night against the Bulls. He was hot.
I mean, are you saying – is that your point in bringing up Gabe, that we got to scour the G League for the next Gabe Vincent?
Yes, this team needs it. This team needs at –
scoring off the bench.
Do we just want to be a good – we can be a good 50 to 52 win team this year, right? We can be that and lose in the first round potentially, or make it to the second round and get smashed, right? Or we could aspire to be a championship-level team, and this team's going to have to add some depth inside, and they're going to have to add at least one more player that can give them some real shooting off the bench. And, you know, whether that's – remember when Bryn Forbes – I can't remember. It was like Forbes for San Antonio all of a sudden came in and gave the Spurs a lift when they were still trying to win championships, if I remember correctly. But players like that, they're out there that, yeah, he's not – you don't need a 30-minute player, but an 18- to 24-minute player that on a given night can hit three threes in a row, like Daniel House did against the Bulls with the Rockets at night, where he just went off. We do need to find a player like that.
For sure. Do you know who was the best at that, or utilizing a player like that? Tibbs, the backup point guard. He had
100%.
CJ Watson, Nate Robinson, Aaron Brooks. All those dudes just could come off the bench and just create and score.
There were more. Who else was in that weird any point guard that we pick up? Somehow Tibbs turns him into an all-star for at least
DJ
20.
Augustine.
DJ Augustine. Yep. So I was thinking of.
Yep. That's
they could use that.
Team, so this team needs they. I would love to see them add that. But I think Kobe has a very important place on this team for this year. I don't see you trading him at the deadline. I think he's going to be on this team. If anything, he's a guy that gets traded at the end of the season, would be my guess, you know.
Nate Robb was in there too. And by the way, Nate Robb was pissed that Tibbs only used him because he absolutely had to use him. He did not want to give Tibbs credit for creating the space that Nate Robb took up when we beat the Brooklyn Nets in seven and Joakim Noah was the greatest player to ever play basketball. Those were the days.
Did you enjoy the moment with LeBron on the baseline with you guys?
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
When I got dunked on?
Yeah.
Why would I enjoy getting dunked on?
I don't know. Well, you got the crowd going, you were cheering, it was some emotion there.
I loved it, it was amazing. Best feeling. What a bad question. Off.